Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
But it was really good discussion. We discussed quite a bit of things. We got caught up in the verse, "Quit ye like men," which we studied last week in Paul's final words. And basically that means act like a man. And a lot of people today don't know what that means, but when the Bible says act like a man, it means be brave, be strong, be a leader, act like a man. And so that's an important thing for us to study and keep in mind. And if you haven't heard all the messages, they're all up on sermonaudio.com and also on our website, harmonybconline.com. And this morning, we will be looking in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to read the first verse. The title of the message this morning is Our Deliverer. Our Deliverer. And I'll read the first verse here, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would forgive us for our sins. I do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to preach your word this morning. Please help us to get what we need from it. And I do pray that the Bible would speak to us this morning. Give us what we stand in need of. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Our Deliverer. The book of 2 Corinthians was written as a follow-up to the letter of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was answering some questions that the church had sent to him, and he was trying to correct some errors in the church at Corinth. There was a lot of division in the church, and there was some misuse of gifts in the church, and so he was trying to correct some errors. And so he follows up with that letter with 2 Corinthians. And as we come down to our introduction to the book of 2 Corinthians, we see in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. So Paul again asserts the fact that he is an apostle, that he's not just some guy writing a letter, but he is an apostle. He's called of God. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so it was God's will for him to be an apostle. And that was an important thing for him to do because the church at Corinth had been divided into different factions. And there were factions that followed Apollos, and there were factions that followed Paul, and there were other factions that wouldn't follow either one. And so Paul was trying to assert the fact that he had authority to write this letter to them, and he continues to do that. He did it in 1 Corinthians. He continues to do that in 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. So Achaia is basically Greece. That's what it is. Corinth was located in Greece, and Achaia is talking about the whole area of what we would call Greece and what they would have known as Greece. So to all the saints which are in Achaia. Now, a saint is a holy thing or a person. And if we were Catholics, then we'd have to die. And then probably 50, 100 years after we died, if it was asserted that we had performed certain miracles and done certain things, then we might be declared by the Catholic Church as saints. But since we're not Catholics and we just take the Bible and believe it, then we believe that all believers are saints. All believers are holy, and we are made holy and declared to be holy by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer is a holy person because we've been saved. We may not live holy. We should live holy, but we may not always live holy, but we're still holy in the sight of God because we're saved, because we're believers in Jesus Christ, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been placed on our account. And when God looks on us, He no longer sees a sinner, but He sees Jesus Christ. That's what He sees when He looks on us, and we praise God for that. So, the saints, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verse 2. This is a common introduction of Paul to his letters, grace and peace. Of course, the two biggest obstacles, two of the biggest obstacles that man faces are sin and a troubled conscience because of sin, and grace and peace answer both of those things. Grace addresses our sin. It's by the grace of God that our sins are forgiven and that we are free from the bondage of sin. And then peace answers our troubled conscience. And so it is through grace and peace that Paul starts his letters, putting that against sin and a troubled conscience, which constantly torment us. And if you're a believer, sin and a troubled conscience still torment you when you sin, and your conscience is troubled about things. And so to you, God says grace and peace. Grace and peace. God wants you to experience His forgiveness through grace, and He wants you to experience His peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise God for that. Grace and peace. Now the first thing that we'll look at following the introduction to the letter is our deliverer's comfort. Of course, when we speak of our deliverer, we're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you will see in a few moments. But our deliverer's comfort. The Word of God says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." The God of all comfort. So, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternally the Son of God. And He has been as long as God the Father has been, God the Son has been, God the Spirit has been. We believe in the triune God. The members of the Godhead are co-equal, co-eternal. But Jesus Christ has eternally been the Son of God and God the Son. He is God. But he is also called the Son of God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, comfort, according to Bill Mounts, the word translated comfort here means solace or consolation. And it comes from a word that means to call to one side. And so God is our comforter. You know, if you need comfort from somebody, generally, you know, if somebody dies, then people that comfort you will come to the funeral home, and they will stay with you. They'll stay by your side. And so that's the idea. God is our comforter. He's our consolation. He's our solace. He's the one that comes to our side. He is there for us. He is the God of all comfort. Verse 4 says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so the Bible says that God comforts us so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that God gives to us. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? God gives you comfort, and you can use that to comfort others. The Life Application Study Bible says, many think that when God comforts us, our troubles should go away. But if that were always so, people would turn to God only out of a desire to be relieved of pain and not out of love for Him. We must understand that being comforted can also mean receiving strength, encouragement, and hope to deal with our troubles. The more we suffer, the more comfort God gives us. If we are feeling overwhelmed, or if you are feeling overwhelmed, allow God to comfort you. Remember that every trial you endure will help you comfort other people who are suffering similar troubles. And so This is a comfort that we can't keep to ourselves. God comforts us so that we can comfort others. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. So Paul says, as the sufferings of Christ, we experience the sufferings of Christ, and where there's suffering, there's also an abundance of comfort or consolation. You go through physical suffering, there's an abundance of God's comfort. You go through financial suffering, there's an abundance of God's comfort. You go through emotional suffering, there's an abundance of God's comfort. There is always comfort for our suffering and an abundance of it. And the more suffering we have, the more comforting we receive. And that's good to know. Amen? That's what God does for us. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, when I read this verse in the King James, it's kind of difficult to understand. And so what I did was I've kind of broken it down to show you what it's saying here. Verse 6, I'm going to read the underlined parts here and watch how this works. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You see what he's saying? He's saying, whether I get afflicted, it's so that you, the church at Corinth, so that you can be comforted and experience salvation. And if I am comforted, it's so that you can experience comfort and salvation. So either way it goes, Paul is a very positive person. He's a cup is half full type person. He looks at it, whatever he faces, and he says, oh good, I'm facing a trial, I can help somebody with this. And he says, oh good, I'm getting comfort, I'm getting the blessings of the Lord, then I can help somebody with this. And so that's the way he looks at things. Whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. Now let's look at the middle of the verse there. Salvation, which is effectual or effective, in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So Paul says the salvation that you receive is effective. It's effectual in enduring the same sufferings which we suffer. In other words, if you go through sufferings, you can endure because of your salvation, because you're saved. Because you have the salvation of the Lord, you can endure sufferings just like we can. Just like we, the apostles, can. You can endure those sufferings as well. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that God doesn't just favor church leaders and what we would call great men, but God favors us as well. God gives us comfort and gives us the ability to put up with it or to endure it. Because we know that there is hope on the other side. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So Paul said, we know this. We know that because you're partaking of suffering, you will also partake of consolation. This is a crude illustration, but when I go to supper on Monday nights, I know that because I show up at the restaurant and with my friends and partake of a meal, then I know I'll be receiving dessert as well. And so, and God here, I know that's a crude illustration, but God here is saying Paul had the confidence that because they were partakers of suffering, they would also be partakers of consolation. So it's just an automatic thing. If you suffer, you're going to be comforted by God. That's just the way He works. So the next time you suffer, understand that hope is on the way. That's what's going to happen. So we've seen our deliverer's comfort. But now we see our deliverer's conflict. Our deliverer's conflict. God both sends comforting and conflict. He allows us to experience conflict in our lives. Verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." So Paul said, we don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble we had in Asia. Now, Ephesus is in Asia, and this could have been some trouble he experienced at Ephesus. One possibility is that he's speaking of the episode in Acts 19, verses 23 through 25 with Demetrius the silversmith, where they basically had a riot because Paul was cutting into his business because he made idols, and Paul was cutting into his business by turning people from idols. Another possibility is in 1 Corinthians 15:32, Paul talks about fighting with beasts. And so it's possible that he's referring to that. And it's possible he's referring to nothing that's even mentioned in Scripture. But nonetheless, he says, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Have you ever been in a situation where you were just so weighted down with problems that you just felt like you were pressed beyond measure? Sometimes people will say, with good intentions, they will say, "God will never put on you more than you can bear." And you know, that's just simply not true. It sounds good. But the Bible doesn't teach that God won't put on you more than you can bear. But God helps us to bear up under problems. If we didn't have God to turn to, we wouldn't be able to bear some things. Wouldn't be able to get through them. But we have God. And so Paul said, "We would not have you, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." We thought we were going to die. Then in verse 9 he says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Why does God allow us to go through conflict? It's so, one of the reasons is so that we can help other people. Another reason is so that we can learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. If you're at the point of death, as some of you have been, then it's hard to trust in yourself. If you're laying on an operating table and you think, "I'm about to die," it's really hard to trust in yourself at that point. I don't care who you are. There's nobody to look to but God, which raises the dead. And so we have a Savior. In 1 Corinthians, they talked about, Paul talked quite a bit about the resurrection of the dead. We have a Savior that raises the dead, and we can trust in Him who raises the dead even when we're at the point of death. Our deliverer's comfort, our deliverer's conflict. He allows conflict to come into our lives for a purpose. And our deliverer's continuance, His continuance. God continues to do some things. He keeps on doing some things. Verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." So Paul said, He has delivered us. He continues to deliver us, and we trust that He will deliver us. Now that's great, isn't it? There's truth in the Christian life that God has saved you. He is saving you, and He will ultimately save you. We have been saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. We are being saved from the practice of sin. One day we will be saved from the presence of sin. And so, God has delivered us from so great a death. He doth deliver us. He's currently delivering us, and we trust that He will yet deliver us. And so you can have hope at any point in time during a trial, at any point in time. You can trust Him to deliver you, to continue to deliver you, and to trust that He will deliver you in the future. And that's a good thing. We can trust in our great God. Verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." So ye also helping together by prayer for us. So prayer is such an important thing. And how can we best help somebody? The most we can do for somebody is to pray for them. And we should also visit them. We should do other things. But the most important thing we can do is to pray. And that's how Paul was being helped through his troubles, was with the prayer of the church. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many." Now this gift, the word translated gift means a favor with which one, a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. A favor which one receives without any merit of his own. It is a gift of God's free grace. That's what he's talking about, a grace gift. We have received this grace gift. We have received something that we didn't deserve. He says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons." By the means of many persons. He's talking there about prayer. Many people were praying for him, and because of their prayers, God bestowed this grace on him, this gift of grace, through their prayers. Now, that's an amazing thing, is that our prayers, one of the neat things about being a missionary, when I was, is that you knew people were praying for you all the time. Sometimes you could feel their prayers. And here in this church, I can feel that people are praying for me. I don't know how that happened, but there was a point in time at which I just began to feel that there were prayers going out for me. And I praise God for that. And so let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another because it is through prayers, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, God will bestow grace through the prayers of many, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Well, when they found out that Paul had been delivered, then many people gave thanks. And that thanks went up to God. And so God's got a process here that many people pray, and the person that they're praying for gets help, and then thanks go up from him to God, and thanks go up from the people that were praying for him. And so we praise the Lord for that. We're praying. One of the things we're praying for here is we're praying for a church that I was actually there when it was being started in Derry, Londonderry, Northern Ireland. There's a church there. And it's going to have to close its doors if they don't raise a tremendous amount of money by January. But people are already giving to that, and they're starting to raise the money. And if they raise the money, there are a lot of people praying for that. If they raise the money, there are going to be people all over the world rejoicing that that church was able to get a building and was able to stay and continue to minister to that community. And that's just one example. There'll be thanksgiving going up to God all over the place. And when we go through things and God gives us deliverance or God gives us strength and we thank God, all the people who are praying for us are thanking God too and praising God. And so, in conclusion, our deliverer, receive God's comfort and use it to comfort others. Let God comfort you. Receive His comfort and use it to comfort others. God wants to help you, and He wants you to help others with the comfort that He gives to you. Receive God's comfort and use it to comfort others. Comfort others. Number two, look to God during troubles. Look to God during troubles. We ought to look to Him all the time, but especially during troubles, look to God. Look to God. And sometimes we're brought to a place to where we have nowhere else to look. Let's look to God. And then number three, keep trusting God because He will keep on delivering. God has delivered, He is delivering, and He will deliver in the future. So let's keep trusting Him as He delivers us out of our troubles and strengthens us through the troubles. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank You that You are our deliverer. I thank You that You have delivered us, that You continue to deliver us, and that You will deliver us. I pray that we would keep our eyes on You. I pray that when we face trouble, that like the Apostle Paul, we would face it knowing that that if we face death, that You are the God who raises the dead, and that we would face the future with hope and with assurance that You're there for us and that You're helping us. I pray You would give assurance to our hearts that only You can give through Your Holy Spirit now. And I pray that You would just strengthen us and help us to trust in You. You are our deliverer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.